Hello, everyone. This is Irit Ezips. As you know, this channel is super dedicated to anything that companies should be aware of to be more customer-centric and get maximized value from their customers and provide maximum value to their customers. And one of the simple things that companies can do is leverage customer feedback to be more customer-centric. And so today I have Steve Bernstein, who's the authority on anything related to collecting customer feedback, how to do it in the best possible manner so that you can really maximize the value you're getting out of this process. Isn't that so, Steve?
Yeah, absolutely. We've really found that when you're listening to customers and demonstrating that you're listening, really showing them that you care, that those strong relationships that result are the gift that keeps on giving. So I'm thrilled to be here with you, Irit, and talk about some of the best practices in this area. Thanks.
Right. So it's not just about collecting the feedback. You found that when you do it in a certain way, you're actually getting more value out of that exercise than if you're just collecting data from customer survey.
That's right. I'm a little allergic to the word survey, I admit, because survey is, to me, and implies sort of inside out process. We're going to go collect some data. We're going to come up, maybe you're using NPS. Most people think of NPS as the Net Promoter Score. I think of NPS as the Net Promoter System, a closed loop process for strengthening relationships with customers. And I really like how you framed up the discussion at the very beginning. Value for you, value for the customer. When you're engaged with customers in terms of collecting and providing course corrections, right, based on feedback, that is value that goes two way. Easiest way to strengthen those relationships, in my humble opinion, is just to show customers that you care, show them that you're listening, and right, take advantage of the gift. So, I mean, there's a lot of ways to do it, and there's a lot of moving parts in this kind of work. So I'm grateful to get into some of the details with you.
Yeah, because you've been doing this, like really specializing in this area for a lot of years, I would say. How many years have you been?
Well, I started off doing this work. Yeah, I'm an old guy, you can kind of see. So I started off doing this kind of work way back in the middle 90s. When I was at Cisco Systems running a product organization and I needed customer feedback, we used to do everything with focus groups and mail surveys, all that kind of stuff. And then the 2000s came along and Satmetrics was creating some tools to be able to collect feedback online. I took the opportunity to go Satmetrics, where we did a lot of really great research and worked out. There was, well, Satmetrics wrote the book literally on, you know, the ultimate question and the Net Promoter System, the Net Promoter Score, of course. The big thing that everybody forgets about, though, with all that work that Satmetrics was doing during that time was that everything we were researching, all the science behind the Net Promoter Score and system was consumer. There were the 20 plus consumer industries that we looked at. That's where we had the data and that's where we could get sample and we could understand. Really, our mission was to understand, well, is CSAT a thing? What really is a good predictor of customer loyalty and relationship strength? And the recommend question came out as a top predictor. But in B2B, things are so different. When I left Satmetrics, it's been 13 years now that there were several of us that left Satmetrics to start Waypoint Group so we could focus specifically on B2B. And B2B, biggest thing is there is a stakeholder team. There's sort of a buying committee. There's a group of people that come together to make buying decisions. Now, not always, right? Sometimes you have small accounts and you might be in a product-led organization where, hey, whatever it is, 20 bucks a month, 50 bucks a month, you can just swipe your credit card and have that kind of subscription. Customer-led companies, though, where you're engaging with customers around best practices, in driving adoption, in driving real value out of an organization that's aligned and contributing together, that's a very different motion. And everybody has, like, you've got end users that really care about usability, for example. You've got stakeholders that really care about the way in which success might be contributed. You've got a decision maker that needs to show ROI. I mean, there are a lot of different persona in any account. What I see happening 9 times out of 10 is sort of this idea of single threading. CSMs will work with their primary point of contact on a regular basis, and that's their view of the account, is kind of what that champion, what that primary contact is saying, with the expectation or sort of assumption that the champion or primary contact is liaising with all these other people back and forth between the company. Doesn't really work that way. The most important thing that anyone can do is to understand directly what people are thinking and feeling is working well, what's not working well, what can be course corrected, and how are you getting people really engaged in whatever kind of program that a CSM is trying to drive. So that anyway, feedback can be a super powerful tool to make that happen.
What you're saying is that it's important to ask the right question. You gave an example of like four different questions, but it's also very important to ask or send that survey, not just to the person that the CSM is in touch with, but also think about other key stakeholders. What are the type of key stakeholders do you recommend that we send that survey to or that questionnaire?
In sales, every sales methodology I've seen is always about building relationships with stakeholders, influencers, people who are contributing to the decision in some way. Sales medic, whatever your process is about making sure that team is aligned, understands what the value proposition is and how to buy. Now, then something interesting happens. We kind of do this sales to CS handoff. Those relationships tend to kind of fall away. Now, maybe it doesn't fall away because the CSM isn't engaging with them, but maybe it's falling away because people change jobs all the time. This is another huge difference between B2B and consumer. In consumer, like you're a traveler and you're going to stay a traveler, right? And we know that Steve and Reed are travelers, whatever, and United Airlines can keep in touch with them. But in B2B, people change jobs. And so the context of feedback has to be in the role that the person is sitting in. So one of the best motions we see for driving strong relationships and keeping in touch with those stakeholders is this feedback exercise that is closed loop to follow up with them. An easy way to do it is the EBR, or what I prefer to call the joint success planning process, or a lot of companies call QBRs, EBR, whatever it is. That process can be a focal point around collecting the right feedback from the right people at the right time. Use that feedback then to drive updates to your joint success plan, or at least to indicate what you see working well and what you see not working well. And then your EBR is focused on future. Like, what are we going to do together? What are our top priorities? How are we going to course correct? That forcing function of the EBR is a great opportunity to check in with your champion and say, these are the people that were involved in the sales cycle. These five people, these people still around? Are these still the right people? I see so-and-so left. Who took their place? I mean, all those questions become really easy discussions when it's in the context of something specific for your champion, like the JSP or EBR.
Okay, here are a couple of things. One, forget surveys, really focus on customer feedback, whether you're collecting it through a business review session, a joint customer success planning process, or a survey in the case of a smaller customer, doesn't matter so long as you collect it. Make sure you leverage the business review process to double click on your governance model. Do you have the right stakeholders? Have a list of roles you're supposed to be in touch with, and take that opportunity to validate if you have the right people identified in those seats, then collect that feedback and leverage that to expand your business.
I mean, you said it better than I did. Yeah, that we have a product called Waypoints Topbox. And one of the things that Topbox is all about is understanding what we call coverage in an account. We'll almost always start with kind of modeling, well, what is sales doing? What titles are sales people talking to? What are the typical roles of those titles? So you got a VP of marketing. Is that person the decision maker? Is that person a budget holder? Are they an influencer? How do they contribute to buying decisions? And what is the use case, or what is the value that they should get from your solution? So working through a very brief, right? It shouldn't take more than 5 or 10 minutes. Sales kind of knows this, who they're talking to. We take those titles, map them to a specific kind of buyer persona. Again, maybe it's an end user, maybe it's an administrator, maybe it's a project manager, maybe it's budget holder. Those specific kind of buying influence roles are very important to map to, because again, everybody has different perspectives, different expectations, different requirements. And the better you can understand that full picture, the easier it is to course correct.
Okay, so step number one in collecting the most efficient and appropriate customer feedback is to make sure you got all the stakeholders identified and mapped out. if you don't feel that as a customer success team, you got that solidified, formalized in any way, start with a sales process. For each sales role, identify the influencer and, you know, decision maker, all of that. Who do they talk to in terms of like the sales rep? Who's he talking to? What titles is he talking to within that each one of these roles? Yeah. And then what use cases does each one of them, what do they care about in terms of as a persona within that organization? So once I got all of that mapped out, I can, as a CSM, make sure that the customer feedback I collect, whether it's from an EBR or a survey, is actually full and comprehensive versus narrowed.
That's right. Here's an important point, actually. A common myth is that survey length is the driver of response rates. Not true at all. Survey length is a contributor to completion rates, but if you commit to your customer, hey, this thing's going to take no more than 2 or 3 minutes of your time. It's been designed to be most effective and efficient for you to be able to give us feedback. And we're committed, or even better, I'm personally committed as your CSM to following up with you and the team to make sure that we're course correcting where we need to. So that's kind of the first step. And then the second step is design your questionnaire so that you're asking the right questions to the right people at the right time. So for example, you're going to ask an end user or an administrator, you'd ask about support. You're not going to ask a decision maker about support. You know, what do you think of our support? Or you're not going to ask an end user, hey, what do you think about value for price? Mm-hmm. They probably don't know what the company's paying for the solution in total. So value for price becomes something that is appropriate for someone else. Bottom line is maybe there are 10 or 12 or 15 questions in your arsenal, but no one person gets them all. And that way you can make sure you're committing. It's a 2 to 3 minute exercise in exchange for the gift of your time. I'm committed to following up and making sure we're driving the right priorities. Will you participate? And if you ask people that, they do. We see participation rates 80% and higher all the time, 80%. So it's truly representative. It's not just a poll of, hey, we got a 5, 10, 20% response rate. It's, we're hearing from 80% of your revenue. This is what is working. This is what's not working. So at the account level, really good data. At the cohort level, as you roll up, really good data. Now you can really understand, well, here's what's working and not working for our decision makers, or here's what's working and not working for our strategic accounts compared to others, or here's what's working and not working for people that work in this region versus that region. I mean, it's really easy, especially when you got the right tools. Again, a little commercial for Waypoint's Top Box, to be able to slice and dice the data and get the right visualizations that come out that help you drive the right actions. Again, account level actions, a lot easier for a CSM to course correct while the rest of the company gets good data to be able to help them make good decisions. I know there's a lot in there that I just talked about, but that's kind of the bottom line is just make sure that you're talking to the right people at the right time, asking the right questions.
Okay, so you mentioned a few things. First, you addressed the survey length, and you said that the longer it is doesn't mean that you're going to get less responses. It's just like impacts the completion. And I think then you made the suggestion to keep it at around 10 to 12 questions at most per persona. And you can actually identify who the persona is. You could like probably add a question at the beginning of the service to determine which questions to serve the respondent.
Absolutely right. I mean, sometimes we use it, the role question is a great place to start. We will use it, you know, as a confirmation, like our records indicate that you hold the budget with regards to these solutions. Please confirm by selecting the sentence below. Yes. I'm so glad you brought that up. That question alone is so insightful because, hey, we thought of this guy as an administrator, but they think of themselves in a different role. Well, that's important to know.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. The other thing that I found is that we can cut down on the time it takes a person to complete a survey and thereby increase the completion percentage by having more multi-answer questions versus open-ended questions.
That's true. Open-ended questions are expensive, I like to say, both for the customer and for the vendor, the company.
To analyze it.
Somebody's got to read all these. And yeah, so any opportunity to use quantifiable data is a good thing with color from any comments. However, we typically see that comment, you get about 20% of the respondents will give you comments. So it's about the dialogue that results. You're going to get symptoms from surveys. A CSM is going to say, well, they're not seeing the value, or, well, they find it hard to use, or, well, these are the things that are working and not working, whatever the survey's coming back and telling you. Those are symptoms. Now, what's the root cause? Because, geez, is every customer feeling that way? Or is this account particularly different? What's different in this account? So we like to, part of the visualizations we provide are these benchmarks that show you one account versus the cohort. But the idea is to surface what, again, the easiest way, what's working and not working, to be able to drive those course corrections. And then being transparent, share it back with the customer. Hey, here's what you guys are telling me. So here's what I think we need to do about it. Are you in? Are these the right priorities? I mean, it becomes a much easier exercise, I think, to do it this way versus sort of the traditional way of we're going to make assumptions. We're going to show them what other companies do without necessarily asking where they want us to focus. I mean, those things are tough.
Yeah, I agree. Okay. And so besides that, the last thing that was kind of like really almost shocking to me is where you said that you see a lot of surveys being completed at 85%. I got to say, some of my clients, they have thousands of accounts that they serve. 20,000 to 30,000. I mean, so when they send it out to everyone, they get 1-2% if they did good. So I have to say, I feel like, you know, and that commitment to follow up, that sounds like a higher touch model. So I wanted to ask you, first of all, can you get to 85% if you send it out to all of your customers, even those that do not have an assigned CSM?
Yes. Takes work. The question I would ask, I guess, is there an 80-20 rule, right? Do you have 20% of your accounts driving 80% of the revenue? If you're in a business that's sort of 50-50, right? 50% of our accounts driving 50% of the revenue. In other words, you just have a long tail. The question I would ask is, are you really customer-led or are you product-led? That might be one thing, right?
Probably product-led, most of them, because they would have a lot of accounts that are under 5K per year. In terms of revenues.
Yeah. So those kinds of businesses, more product-led, probably more end-user focused, different sort of techniques than engaging probably with stakeholders. Where you've got big accounts, I always like to say that the feedback process should exemplify the go-to-market strategy or the way in which a CSM is working with a particular account. So if your motion is high touch, you have a high touch. If your motion is tech touch or low touch, then you have tech touch. The thing that's key though is, first of all, if you're a company that has 30,000 customers and they're all sort of long tail, like you said, don't survey them all at once. There's no way that that's going to scale or work. You're going to get fire hosed. You're not going to be able to drive the right kind of motions. So what we recommend to do instead, and what Waypoint's top box will do, is make sure that you're talking to the right people at the right time. So for example, right after onboarding, maybe not immediately after onboarding, but maybe a week or two after onboarding. That's a good milestone. It says, we signed off, we finished onboarding. Do you feel ready to be able to start being self-sufficient and acquiring the value? That would be what I want to ask. I want to know if you feel ready, right? We start off with that. And during the onboarding exercise, we're positioning feedback as an ongoing process with a commitment to follow up. And then the last piece I really want to mention is the follow-up process doesn't necessarily have to be one-to-one. Sometimes it's one to account. It's at the account level, especially for strategics. Sometimes it's at the cohort level. After you've gotten feedback from a particular cohort of accounts over some period of time, it becomes much easier to look for those patterns and trends, use the visualizations that your tools are giving you, stamp out the issues or recognize the other differentiators. That follow-up strategy, replaying back to everybody that was invited, whether they responded or not. Hey, here's what we've heard this quarter. Here's what we're doing about it. And if you're not doing anything about it, don't ask. Because there's why? I mean, we see so many companies running these net promoter surveys, net promoter score. And I'll tell you, if you got a response rate that's less than, say, 50%, you're hearing from less than half of your customers. And even then, maybe you only have one contact per account. You don't have the five or 10 that maybe you should. you come back with a number. And I always kind of joke around, like, you want an NPS? I'll give you one. How's 33? You like 33? That's as good as what you're going to get from a 5 or 10% response rate. We know that customers are likely to respond if there's a relationship there and if they know you're listening. McKinsey & Company says this all the time as well. People will respond if they think their feedback is going to be used and not just go into a black hole. So you got to demonstrate that.
Okay. So back to my question. So if you have a lot of SMB accounts, it might take you a while longer to get to a higher response rate than with a higher touch. And I think it's because you sort of also have a process that you recommend in how to approach towards customer feedback collection for high touch models by leveraging the relationship and the trust the CSM has with that account. And giving the customer something that what's in it for them at the end of the survey, following up with the account, demonstrating that you care, promising to share those results with them. There's some value to the executive or the business lead in that motion. Is that the gist of it, essentially? Or are there any other components besides identifying the stakeholders and the premise? There's value in the customer by providing the feedback.
Yeah. I mean, like if you're a product-led organization, then you know who your customers are, right? Because they're in your product database. If you're a customer-led organization, it's a little more difficult because your stakeholders may not be using the product. So there is a motion that we call active recruiting. As a CSM, you should be talking to your customers. There should be dialogues, even if you're product-led and you've got 400 accounts. Let's say you're a CSM, got 400 accounts in your portfolio. Well, milestone-wise, you've got maybe onboarding as a big milestone. You got sort of initial value. You've got maybe steady state. You've got pre-renewal. There are key milestones that every company has. Mm-hmm. So we don't have to necessarily over-engineer it. You should know, well, time to value, you know, it should take them no more than 3 months after onboarding to be able to recognize that there's some value. Great, that's another milestone. Back to the example, let's say you got 400 customers you're working with. They're all gonna be at different life cycle stages. So if we can roughly do the math, you got maybe 100 per quarter that might be involved in this sort of activity. Divide by 3 months, now you got 33 customers in any given month, roughly, that might be teed up for surveys, that might be ready to get the feedback. Look, if you can't handle a 10-minute discussion as to why they should participate and maybe a 30-minute follow-up as to what are you doing with their results, that's less than an hour per account. If you can't do that, then you should really think about, well, how are you going to get feedback in different ways? If you don't have the resources to do it, then maybe focus groups or CABs are a better way to do it in those regards. But look, I hear all the time from people, I don't have time to do this. That's a red herring. I really believe strongly it's a red herring. People have time for the things that they want to have time for. And if you truly don't have time, it's because you're working on urgent, catch-all sort of activities. You're probably not thinking about the relationships and what's really important to work on. And I would suggest if you don't have time, maybe you should really think about what the priorities are, what you're doing, and how important is it really to strengthen relationships with all those customer contacts. And if you do it kind of throughout the year, it's not a lengthy, time-consuming exercise. Yeah, do you agree? What do you see in this regard, Irene? Well,
I take away a few things from what you said, because you said a couple of things that were really light bulb moment for me. You should really be careful how you're sending surveys. I think a lot of companies err and like, all right, let's just send the surveys 3 months before renewals. You're saying, nay, send it to a cohort of customers that has something in common so that it's easier for you to analyze and optimize for that cohort. The other thing that you said is when you send a survey and how you design the questions in the survey should be related to a moment of truth within that customer journey. Pick up the key milestones and really make sure that the customer is getting get the feedback from the customer that they're getting value and then follow up with them on a half hour call. I think it's actually a great excuse for a CSM for unresponsive accounts to say, hey, this is the feedback we got from you. This is what we're going to do about it. The third takeaway that I'm going to take from this is that I help a lot of companies design a CSM customer journey, meaning what are the activities, proactive activities that a CSM should do during the lifecycle of a customer. And I have never added follow up after a survey. But going forward, you'd be sure that this is an activity that I'm going to highlight to all of my customers, because guess what? None of them have it. Even customer journey maps that I have reviewed that were already existing for other companies, none of them ever had this as a proactive activity that we plan on doing. But I think executives actually mandated that. It's going to make a huge difference. I totally agree with you. It totally makes sense.
There's real, genuine ROI that comes out of these feedback exercises. I mean, a survey exercise shouldn't just be a, okay, our NPS is 28 or whatever it is. It should be, well, why? What's coming out of this? And again, you're going to get symptoms coming back from the customer. Like, and I liken this to when you go to the doctor, hey, doc, it hurts when I do this. And hopefully the doctor's going to say, well, let's investigate. Let's diagnose a little bit more. That's the job of the CSM, is to diagnose. Okay, you're not seeing the value. Well, here's what's going on. Here's what other companies do. Here's what you guys are doing. There's so much intelligence that can be transponded two ways or in these meetings. I would also say these follow-up discussions, because you're getting symptoms in the surveys, what a wonderful opportunity to actually understand root cause. Like, they're saying, doc, it hurts when I do this. They're saying, doc, I don't like your support, or whatever it might be. Well, tell me, it's so easy. It's two questions. What did you experience exactly? Well, here's some of my experience that I've gone through. Okay. Now, I understand that doesn't sound great, but tell me very specifically, what did you expect instead? And why did you expect that? Are you getting that from our competitors? Did you get it from our salesperson? Did they tell you that? Is it coming from other vendors you're working with? Like, so understanding, this is what a great opportunity to understand any sort of disconnect between expectations and delivery. You can course correct sooner. The CSM is constantly bombarded by missed expectations. Well, understand where those expectations are getting missed. Fix it upstream, so that the right expectations are getting set ahead of time. And then it's a lot easier to manage customers down the road. Anyway, that's a little bit on root cause. I would just say that the follow-up strategy, to your point, Arit, it's the most important part. If you're not following up, I would say don't do it. And it doesn't have to be follow-up one-to-one. You got to follow up in some way, whether it's a small select sample, whether it's one-to-one, whether it's at the account level, there are certainly strategies to make sure it happens. And that's where the goodness occurs.
There's one more aspect to collecting customer feedback. That's what they call like a feedback fatigue, when you ask for too much feedback. What's your take on that?
Yeah, there certainly is over-surveying. Let's say there are four key milestones across a year. Is at all four of those milestones really the right opportunity? What is the pace of change? How quickly can a company absorb and manage feedback in this respect? Yeah, maybe there are these milestones, but if the company is not able to react fast enough, then there's no point in kind of going back for another round of feedback if you haven't addressed what they told you last time.
Okay, I got to admit, I never thought about it like that. Pace your survey cadence based on how quickly you can react to the feedback, not necessarily how many of those can a customer take.
That's right.
Awesome.
If you can close the loop with a strategic account, make sure everything's addressed within 30 days, and the customer is perceiving that follow-up and recognize it, then you might be ready to send another questionnaire in 2 or 3 months down the road. You might be. I don't know. It feels like a little much for me, but yeah.
Well, I learned so much from this conversation. Steve Bernstein, you're a world-renowned expert on the topic. What a treat to have you on the channel, honestly.
Well, I'm thrilled to be here. I love working with you, Arit. We've been following each other for so long, many, many years. I'm a huge admirer of the work you do in helping companies with their processes and make sure that everything's optimized. We take a much more narrow view around how are we course correcting? Are you getting feedback from the right people? Are you capitalizing on it effectively? Are you driving advocacy? Are you activating those promoters? All that kind of stuff. Your purview is larger. I'm thrilled to be able to continue collaborating with you.